I was made for more. Say that with me. I was made for more. As Dr. Silvoso tells us, say it with some Tabasco on it. I was made for more. As Diane and I approach 47 years of God's blessing on our marriage, a lot of times we spend time, amen. We spend time talking about different seasons and eras that we walk through. Seasons of blessing, seasons of favor, seasons of testing and trial, seasons of patience, seasons of frustration, all kinds of seasons that God's brought us through. But one of our absolute favorite seasons is what we call our high school era. Not our high school, I met her in college, but when our boys, Timothy and Stephen, were in high school, there was something magical about Friday nights in Virginia. We would go to the football game. Our son was a football player. Tim, our son Stephen, was in the marching band with 200 other marching band members. And it was crazy. We would go early on Friday afternoons, take our blankets, put them across the bleachers so we could all have a seat. There would be, again, this is Virginia, 3,000 to 4,000 people at every game. Our rival game, we'd have up to 10,000 people. And whether your kid was in the football team or the marching band or the dancers or the cheerleaders or just showing school spirit, it was crazy fun. We loved it every Friday night, cheering and yelling. Our son, Tim, was the kicker, which means he did the field goal, the punts, the extra points, the kickoffs, he did everything. So they're constantly on the microphone, and there comes number 31, Tim Mancari, out for the kick. It was so great. My dad loved it, and it was just such a great season for us. This is the jersey I wore every Friday night. Every Friday night, we're out there. There'd be about 400 or 500 people from our church there. We're all cheering on our kids and their kids and everybody's kids. And it was a great season. Yelling, screaming, popcorn, peanuts. It was just amazing. We loved those years. They were magical. Those are what we call our go-to-the-game years, our go-to-the-game era. But spiritually speaking, here at Cathedral, we are not in the go-to-the-game era anymore. This is the get-in-the-game era. No more on the sidelines, no more in the stands. It's time to get in the game. In fact, have you been looking for a sign that it's time for you to get in the game? There's your sign. Last week, Pastor Ken introduced this understanding to us. He talked about the question that God asked Moses when he said, what's in your hand? Because a lot of times what he's given us is what he wants to use. Last week he talked to us about, you are God's masterpiece. This week, last week the question was, what's in your hand? This week, I think Jesus wants to ask each of us, do you see what I see? Because yes, we are his masterpiece, but also, this week we need to understand we are Christ's ambassadors. You're his representative. Not maybe, not oh possibly, not could be, or if you volunteer. The minute you receive Christ, you become his ambassador. In fact, I invite you to stand with me. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul writes these words. Here's what he says. We're Christ's representatives or ambassadors. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. So let me just back up a minute. I'm a professor, so I always have to give quizzes. Alexis, if you want to go ahead and leave that up there to help them out. What are we? Christ representatives, Christ ambassadors, that's who you are. And who are we speaking for? Christ himself. That's next to the bottom line for those of you trying to find the answer. It's not cheating to read it. And what is our message? Become friends with God. He's already friends with you. That's your role. That's what God's calling you to. fact, let me give you the shorter version of this from 2 Corinthians. It says this, where Christ's representatives were speaking for Christ himself now. So Lord, we come to you in these next moments, and I pray that when you ask us the question, do you see what I see? That you would open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our spirits, that we can line ourselves up with your expectations, your understanding, your revelation, your purposes for each one of us. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you are working in each of us. We surrender ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Say this with me, get in the game. One more time, get in the game. Tell somebody as you're being seated, get in the game. So I'm going to give you four things the scripture tells us about our responsibilities. It's not, are you an ambassador? Could you be ambassador? Do you choose to? He's already said when you come to him, you are his representative. You may be the only understanding people have of who Christ is. How you live, what you do, what you say, how you serve, how you grow. And so let's look at what the scripture says. First of all, here's what God says to us. See the field. See the field. Say that with me.
See the field.
Here's what happens. Jesus wants us to know that he has put us in circumstances, situations, relationships, communities, schools, workplaces, because there's something he wants us to see as his ambassador. We don't represent ourselves, we represent him. In fact, if we go to Coach Jesus, here's what he says in John 4. He says, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. His word to us as his ambassadors is keep your eyes open. Look for opportunities. I want to show you what I see. You know, one of the beautiful scriptures explains prophetically what Jesus would do. It says that he would open blind eyes. And we have amazing stories in scripture of people who were born blind that could not see physically at all, and Jesus touched them and their eyes were opened. But I think just as important and just as vital and just as difficult sometimes is for him to open our spiritual eyes, to see the truth, to understand what he wants from us, what he's doing in us. And so our prayer today is, Lord, help us to see the fields. Let us see what you see. You might see individuals. You might see who they are, their background and their story. But Jesus wants to open up our eyes to see something more. And when Jesus did that in Matthew, we read these words. It says, when he saw the multitudes, what happened? He was moved with compassion. It's not just enough to see, but that seeing leads to a feeling. Compassion means he was stirred deeply inside. That's the passage from the loaves and fishes. When he saw, he was moved with compassion. And what God wants to do is for us to see the fields so he can move our hearts with compassion that then leads to action, that then leads to harvest. That's our responsibility. You don't have to be at Cathedral very long to understand some powerful foundational words to this church. They were spoken here by Pastor Kenny decades ago, and they continue to guide us. And it's the prayer that we pray that says, Lord, help us see. Help us see the hurts no one else is noticing. Help us hear the cries that no one else is hearing, and help us care about those that no one else cares for. Notice that progression. God, open my eyes. Let me see the hurts you see. Let me hear the cries of those people. And let me move with compassion to care for them. That's what he wants us to see. Not just how I'm feeling today. I come and I worship the Lord so that he can work in me and speak in me. It's like this is the embassy. While we're in this embassy, you always see it on the TV shows, like they flee to the embassy and they're safe, you know? Well, that's what we are here. We come here and we're safe from the attack of the enemy. We're safe from everything else. We worship the Lord. We hear the word of the Lord. It strengthens us. But we come here as ambassadors so that we can go out and represent the King. Amen. Let's give him thanks and praise. So, The first part of scanning the field is this. We see the fields, and next, we carry out the plan. God has a plan for you. You were born for a reason, not just by chance. God has a purpose for letting your breath last. And if we seek him, we'll find it. He'll see us through, because with the help of God, there's nothing that we can't do as we follow him and let him work in us. Again, let's go back to the passage from 2 Corinthians 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You are sent out. If people want to know what Jesus is like, they just have to see it in you. He gave grace. He just didn't talk about it. He lived out these things. That's why our vision here at Cathedral lines up so clearly with the vision that Jesus demonstrated as the King. It's this: building faith. Building what?
Faith.
Building.
Faith.
It's changing
lives,
inspiring dreams, and all through Jesus. Here's what Jesus did. He came to build faith. He wants to build your faith. He wants to build faith through you. He came to change lives. He's changed mine. He's changed yours. And there are so many people yet out there who need their lives changed. You're his ambassador for that. And inspiring dreams. It's never too late, too early, or the wrong time to dream. Here's what our coach Jesus says in John chapter 20. Jesus said, I am sending you just as the Father has sent me. So here is the plan. God had a plan. He sent Jesus to earth. I'm so grateful that he blotted out with his blood all my sins. Are you thankful for that? He came down to represent the Father and show us what the Father's like. And then his plan was this. He was going to go back and he sent you. He said, in the same way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You are his ambassador, his representative here on this earth in this time to move from seeing to feeling to action to harvest. Ephesians puts it this way when Paul writes these words, for you are God's handiwork. Sometimes it's translated masterpiece. The word is actually poema in the original. You're God's poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God chose you. It's been my privilege to live in Africa, live in New Zealand. I lived in Europe for 3 years. It's been my privilege to lead over 1,200 people on missions trips to 56 different countries. And every time, the majority of the time, we go to work with people who are in poverty to help care for them and empower them and train them and teach them leadership and give them what they need to fulfill their potential. And every trip always shakes me to the core. And one thing that at first time it really hit me was I was leading a team to New Delhi, India. And while we were there, we were working with a slum school that we supported. We had bought uniforms for all the kids. We supported them financially. We sent teams over to encourage them. And here we were in this slum where it took us about 15 minutes to turn to all these alleys into the middle, past all the sewer, open sewer, past all the animals, past all the cooking, past everything. We finally got almost to the middle of this slum, and we got into this tiny little concrete room with these 25 kids in there. And they were all wearing the uniforms we bought, and they were so proud of the uniforms. Some of them, the workers said, this is the only clothes some of them have. And so they got up there, and they started singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Smiling, so filled with joy. And then they started singing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Here were kids who didn't have parents, who didn't have family. All they had was this school, and God broke me. Because I realized I didn't pick where I was born. I didn't pick what country I was born in. I didn't pick what neighborhood I was born into. I didn't pick whether I had parents or not. God sovereignly directed all that. And here were these kids filled with joy, filled with love, who years later I was able to watch go on to have successful careers of making differences in their community. But there they were, broken from life, but filled with joy by Jesus. Why? God was working in them there. Here's the truth. God chose where you were born. He chose your family with all of its flaws and dysfunctions as well as its blessings. He chose this time, this place, this community, this season. You could have been born in the 1800s or the 1500s or the 1200s, or you could have been before Christ. But God chose you now because he has a purpose for you. You are here for a reason. Amen. Not just to spectate, not just to watch, not to observe, not just to go to the game. I am so grateful that every week I get to go to the game here. I get to hear from God. I get to worship the Lord. I get to have his peace fill me, but it's for the purpose of going out. And so here's the third part of that. First, we see the fields. Second, we carry out his plan. And third, you accept your position. Say that with me. Accept your position. Not everybody wins the score touchdown for the game. Not everybody stands up front with the microphone. Even here on a weekend, we have so many dozens of people who without you wouldn't see anything. There wouldn't be any lights. There wouldn't be any sound. There wouldn't be anything happening around here. We all need to fulfill our role. And one of the problems is we tend to think, oh, but I'm not the hand. But Paul says very clearly, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. You are necessary and needed as ambassador. When God drew you to him, he drew you because there are people you can touch, things you can do that are different than anyone else. That's why it's time for you to get in the game. It's our sign to get in the game. One of the things I love about Cathedral is the values that drive who we are and everything we do. You know them by heart now. It's a place where everyone is, everybody is. It's where nobody is perfect, where anything is, and where the love is. And the beautiful thing about the first three, they're all about me. God, I'm welcome here. I don't have to be perfect. I can believe anything. But the last one turns it. Those are all things I can receive, but then it's a call for me to live out the love. How am I going to do that? How am I going to extend forgiveness and grace and generosity and serve others with what God's put in my hand? Let's go back to Coach Jesus. Here's what he says in Matthew 7. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. It is possible that there are people who run in the embassy and say, Lord, but they're really not preparing for what he has because we are his ambassadors. James puts it this way when he says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Another translation says, faith without works is dead. So faith is intended to be put into action, stepping out to serve, to bless, to become all God wants us to be. Here's the truth. The stands can be comfortable. It can be great to watch, cheer on, and be part of it. But here's the truth. The fields require commitment. The stands, it's where you can critique. Oh, quarterback should have done this. Why did they put that person in? Why didn't they put my son in? You know, we can critique from the stands. Oh, I didn't like that song. Oh, that sermon didn't speak to me. You know, we can critique from the stands, but the reality is the field is where we contribute, which is what ambassadors do. The stands are a place where you just observe, you watch, you observe, you just sit. But the field is where we obey. We move from observing to obeying. That's his call for us. So let's go to the last point here. S is to see the field. C is carry out his plan. A is accept your position. And N is now is the time. When? Now is the time that God wants you and I to recognize it's time to be in the game. James puts it this way. He says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I'm glad we have this amazing place to come and worship. This place where the kingdom of God is ruling and we come as his ambassadors. But it's for one reason, for us to go out and to represent. Here is the bottom line. Hearing is not the same as doing. Just because I hear it and I know it, how many of you have treadmills in your bedroom? Buying the treadmill wasn't enough. And I know it's sort of a modified clothes hanger now. But just because you bought the treadmill wasn't enough to lose the weight. How many of you are paying for apps with exercises right now that you're not doing? How many of you bought things that are just sitting in your house? Because hearing is not the same thing as doing. Listening is not the same thing as obeying. And spectating is not the same as participating. God's calling us to get in the game now. Now, one of the beautiful things when you travel around the world, each nation has its own form of costume, you know, some kind of hat or jacket or coat or shoes or something that represents their country. Well, let me tell you what our uniform is as ambassadors for Jesus. From Colossians chapter 3, here's how Paul puts it. He says, "You've been chosen by God for this new life of love. So dress in the uniform that God picked out for you. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be tolerant. Be quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as God forgave you." I think I need to say that one again. Forgive as quickly and completely as God forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. That's our uniform. That's what we wear. When you walk into the room, the love of God walks in the room. When you walk in the room, the forgiveness of God walks in the room. When you walk in the room, His grace walks in with you. You represent Him as His ambassador. That's our responsibility. Here's what happens. The enemy whispers, "You're not ready." Here's what the Spirit says, "Go." The enemy says, "Oh, wait. The Spirit says, "Now." The enemy says, "Hey, you served years ago." The Lord says, "There are no retired kingdom ambassadors." This ties in so beautifully what God's called us to do at Cathedral of Faith. Here's our mission. It's a place to connect to God and connect to others. It's a place to grow in your faith and become more like Jesus. It's a place to serve others and serve our community. It's a place to dream. That's our mission. Let me unpack that a little further for you. Here's what that means. When it says connect, it means don't isolate. I know you're like me. You're an introvert. I prefer me and my books, me and prayer, me and alone with Jesus, but I've got to push past that. Connect, don't isolate. The next one is grow, don't stagnate. Keep growing in Christ. Keep becoming what He wants. The next one is this: serve, don't spectate. It's not just enough to watch everybody else do it, but serve. And last of all, don't settle. It's time to dream. God has something for you. He has something He wants to release in you. Anybody who's ever had children know there comes a moment when you have to have them start taking responsibility. You don't just sit all your life until you go to college or move out of the house. You have responsibilities, you have expectations, you have commitments, you have things you're to do. And some of you have been like babes in Christ for a long time. You're just sitting. Now, let me remind you, here's what preaching does. It brings comfort to the afflicted, but it also afflicts the comfortable. And in this moment, you're never too young in Christ. You're never too young in your walk with the Lord. That is not time. Now is the day for you to step forward. But also, as I said earlier, there are no retired kingdom ambassadors. 2 years ago when I turned 70, I was in my office thanking God for what he had done, thanking God for the opportunities, for the experiences, for all he allowed me to do. And there on my wall were my doctoral degree and all my master's degrees and bachelor's degrees. And I had this wall filled with degrees. And over here, I had a wall filled with medals. I've run like 50 marathons, which for those who don't know, is 26.2 miles. Unless you're in Europe, it's 42.1 kilometers. I had all these medals and all these degrees, and I looked at them and God said, take them down. I'm like, what? And here's what he told me. Don't let your memories be greater than your dreams. Can you say that with me? Don't let your memories be greater than your dreams. This is the word for those who think they're retired from ambassadorship. You never retire until you're translated into the kingdom for good. God has a plan for you. He wants you to step up. 2 Corinthians, again, we'll go back to our opening verse. We're Christ's representative speaking for Christ himself now. There are children who need your ministry in our children's ministry. There are youth who need your care in our youth ministry. There are ministries that need you to step up and get in the game and become all God intended for you to be. This is the day. Now is the time. Accept your position. Let God open your eyes and choose to say yes. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and I want you to make small circles of 2, 3, 4 people around the congregation, all around the campus, wherever you are. Make a small circle together. But Lord, I just pray right now, you would help us. You've done so much for us. You took our shame, our sin. You took everything we've ever done, and you've forgiven us and set us free. And so, Lord, we recognize that this is a season for us as a church to be on mission. You're calling us to fulfill the mission to which you called us. You're calling every ministry at Cathedral to be on mission. You're calling every one of us as your ambassadors to be on mission. And so, Lord, bring conviction to us. Open our eyes to see hurting people. Open our eyes to see what you see and help us to serve like you serve. Let that be the legacy of this church, ambassadors for Christ, all over the world, as we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Put your right hand in the center with your team. 1, 2, 3, let's go.